Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded to you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age." This is the word of the Lord.
Yeah, kids can go to children's church. There it is. They're always very quiet until they get like right to the stairs, down the stairs, and then all bets are off. It's a beautiful thing. Well, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this great opportunity to worship you together. I know I forget sometimes what a privilege and an honor it is just to be able to gather with brothers and sisters in Christ and worship. And today, we hear stories from people's lives, stories that are stories of transformation, of insight, of new life, and of seed planting and seed watering. And Lord, we thank you for the faithfulness of your people. And we delight ourselves in the story that you're telling through us. Lord, may we continue to follow you. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, today we're hearing stories of a changed world. I am not going to talk long, other than to say that last week we talked about what we want to do when we say that we bless the world. So we talked about having a global perspective and engaging in things that are outside of ourselves intentionally so that we understand that God is doing work everywhere. But we talked about how in our day-to-day lives, we focus on caring for people compassionately, showing mercy, showing compassion, and also in whatever way we can, seeking justice for those who are being oppressed around us. And then we also talked about ultimately how we are just filled with this story, this good news of Jesus that we want to share with people. And Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." And that's what we're trying and attempting to do with our day-to-day lives, is to make disciples, to pour into people, whether they're far from God or whether they're kind of close to God. We're just trying to help people get a little bit closer to Jesus, a little bit farther along in their walk with God. And so we go out with good news. We live good news. And it's not something that's like a cosmetic addition to everything else that's going on in our lives. It is out of the overflow of the joy that God has put into our hearts. It's an out of the overflow of the gifts that he's poured into us that we then become a gift to the world. And these are stories of people who have become a gift to the world in small ways and in big ways. And I'm excited to hear those stories. And so our first story this morning comes from Nelva. And come on up. What's that? Oh, you can't go up. You can. Oh, okay. You can. Okay. I wasn't sure what you told me. Yeah. Okay. Good. Yeah. You want some help? Yep.
I just need bandwidth.
Sure.
I need to put my paper down so you don't see me shaking. When Andrew asked if I would share my story, I thought it would fit into one of the other Sundays. How I have blessed the world is a hard one. Do I always know how I am a blessing to others? It's easy to tell how others have been a blessing to me, as I have been blessed over and over in so many different ways. A verse that comes to my mind is from Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that you may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. I have tried to live like this, and know sometimes I failed miserably. I do know people are watching how you live, how you handle your problems, stress, and other happenings in your life. You're always making an impression, whether it is good or bad. One example I can think of happened when I was working at the Shopping Guide. We hired a young man who was gay, a very easygoing, funny person, but he was different. Tattoos, earring, black leather. One day he told me he respected me because I didn't enforce my beliefs on others. He knew from just the way I talked and behaved that I was a Christian. One Christmas, he even gave me an angel. He always admired my earrings, and that always made me laugh. I had never been around gay people before, and it changed how I felt about them. I enjoyed my friendship with him. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect." This verse is appropriate when I share the death of our son, Mark. When I share with others, people will say, "Oh, I could never imagine losing a child. How did you do it?" That's when I share my faith with them. I tell them without God in my life, I could not have endured it. My faith in God and knowing Mark is with Jesus has helped me through the grieving process. So I hope whenever I share my faith, it blesses them in some way or help them when and if they have a loss of a close loved one in their life. I also learned the more you are blessed, the more you want to be a blessing to others. It also shows how even little things can be a blessing. A phone call, a visit, a card, and so forth. In conclusion, I would like to say that I've never been sure how much I've been a blessing in my small world, part of the world. But when I look back, I see times when my love for God and my faith has really been a help to others. Proverbs 27:19, as water reflects the faith, so one life reflects the heart. Thank you.
I was ready for a quick sprint if I needed it. Thank you so much, Nova. And I think quite a few people in this room could confirm how much you've blessed the world around you, whether you see it or not. So it is absolutely there. Well, there's one person that's blessed my world a lot. It's the next person who's going to share it. So, Marcy, your turn.
I probably should have written out better notes, so bear with me. I feel like I owe it to everybody here to give an update from when I stood here in May with this crazy idea that God had given me about doing this mugs and muffins thing at our park. And so if you weren't here on the Sunday that I shared, just to give a brief update, I had been thinking about different ways. It was during the How to Be a Good Neighbor series that Andrew preached on, and I was thinking about what could I do, and I felt like I heard God telling me that it would be really easy to bake some muffins each week and then invite people in our neighborhood down to the park to play if they had kids, or just to come hang out if they didn't have kids. And so, and at the time in May when I shared that idea, I hadn't acted on it yet, but then shortly afterwards, we have a neighborhood Facebook page where people can like post things so that everyone who's on that page in the neighborhood sees the post. And so I used that as my way to advertise. So I just said, hey, I'm going to bake some muffins and show up at the park, so come play. And we did it on Wednesday mornings. Well, I guess I put like a feeler message out there and said, would anybody be interested? And there was tons of interest. So then I knew, okay, well, and I was kind of like, you know, no one's going to respond. Like, hopefully nobody does, or that's, you know, a silly idea. But no, there was tons of comments back on that post that said, oh, that's such a great idea. And so then I kind of let that sit for a week or so, and then I was like, okay, I guess I better just pick a day and do it. So we did. We picked Wednesdays, and I baked muffins, and I had no idea how many to make the first day and the first time. So we went down, or the kids and I got ready. We went down to the park on the first Wednesday that I had advertised that I was going to be there. And I think I had said I was going to be there like at 9:30. I can't remember the time exactly, but I walked down there, and I have a couple of friends in the neighborhood, and so I was kind of rallying them up the night before and was like, you're going to come, right? You're going to come at least. And so, and they had promised me that they would, but the kids and I got down to the park, and, like, we were the only people there. And then, like, one of my friends who doesn't even live in the neighborhood but lives close to the neighborhood, like, she drove over, and so, like, she showed up, and I'm like, okay, this is, like, me and, like, this person who doesn't even live in our neighborhood are at the park playing. And I see her a lot anyway, so it was like, oh, this is total a failure. But then, like, around 10, I guess it must have been 9:30, then around 10 o'clock, people started showing up. And that first week, I think we had, like, I don't know, like 10 people total. But there was like other moms there, and I got to introduce myself to them, and we had a great time. Well, then the next week, so then I kind of got back on there and I said, we had a great time at the park this morning, and then invited people for the next week. The next week, which was our biggest week, we had 9 adults and 17 kids come. And so these are just people from my neighborhood who showed up and enjoyed eating muffins that I had baked, and we just played and got to know each other. So it was really great. And through this, and we did it all summer long, every Wednesday all summer long. And I have to say that it was really cool. I mean, looking back over it, it was really great. I can't tell you, like, there's, like, this huge report of, like, this mind-blowing thing that happened over the summer because I ate muffins in the park with my neighbors on Wednesday mornings. But I will tell you that I have some new babysitters. So, like, some teenage girls showed up to introduce themselves, and so that was a great way for them to network with other neighbors in the park. I know a lot more neighbors. We made some connections with a family that actually has a son in Addison's class, and she's come to one of the Taze services, so there's actually been some people who have showed up at some of our services, so that's awesome. And then just in general, like, I walk in the neighborhood a lot, and just being able to wave to people and know who they are and say hi. Like, I was just on a walk this week, and we passed one of the moms, Kelly, and her son, and I was able to, you know, call her out by name and say hi to her son, and it's just that special connection that you get to know people who are around you. And so, so that was really cool. So it was a great experience. Now, I have to, like, now turn this into how is this blessing the world? And that's what I really had to think about when Andrew asked me to share that question. And so I was thinking about this because Addison is my daughter, and she's 8, and we have these conversations a lot. It seems like they become more and more as your children get older about, what do you want to be when you grow up, right? So, like, you've all had this conversation with people. What do you want to be? So her response is, like, always what I don't want to be. And her response lately has been, I want to be famous. And I'm like, so if you ask her what she wants to be, she'll tell you, I just want to be famous. And then she'll list off some occupations of people who are famous, like, you know, I want to be a singer, or I want to be a pop star, or, like, you know, she's got all these things of people who qualify as famous. And, like, I hear her, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's not ever what I want to be. I don't want to be a famous person. Like, I'm more like Hosea, and I am so content to, like, just stay in my house and just be at my house. And I love the days when I don't really have anything to do and I just get to be home all day. So I'm, like, the complete opposite of her. And it's just funny to me that, like, I'm raising this child that's like that. But in September, we had this, and this, I didn't organize this at all. This, our neighborhood association has been really good about trying to get our neighborhood together, which is just, like, piggybacking off of, or I'm piggybacking off of them doing this mugs and muffin thing. So In September, they had this big potluck at the park one Friday night, and it was like a pirate theme because there's International Talk Like a Pirate Day in September. So we had this big neighborhood potluck, and like everyone was like walking to the park in pirate costumes, and we had great food, and there was a treasure hunt for the kids, and it was so much fun. And so all Friday night, we spent a couple hours at our local park hanging out with all these people that lived around us. And later that day, that night, or the next day or something, Andrew made this comment to me. He's like, "You're famous." I'm like, "No, I'm not." But at that picnic, everybody knew who I was. And like, honestly, like I told you, the most people we'd ever had was 9 adults and 7 kids, and it was a lot of repeats. So it like, and there were probably like at least 100 people at this picnic, maybe even more than 100 people. So like, I had not interacted with these people, but everybody knew who I was. Like, I was going through the food line, and people were talking like, "Hey, you're Marcy. You do the mugs and muffins thing." And I'm like, "I have no idea who you are." And there was, and that's like the worst thing for me too. Like, when somebody knows who I am, and I'm like, I have to rack my brain. Like, have I met you before? Do I know you? And half the people I have met, and I don't remember them. And it's just this terrible quality that I have. And so it almost made me feel a little uncomfortable. And like, some people I had met before, I don't know. Anyway, everyone knew who I was, and I was like, okay. So it made me feel funny, and I was like, all I did was bake some muffins and show up at our park, like, what, 13 weeks this summer? Maybe even not that many times, and post on Facebook, and, you know, it was never my intention for people to get to know me or for Andrew or my friends to call me famous or whatever, but I just wanted to connect and provide a place for people to come and connect with their neighbors and bring their kids and get to know their kids. You know, I love kids, so I love to get to know the kids that are living around us. So what in the world does this have to do with blessing the world? Well, this week I was reading Romans because I was preparing for this, and I had started reading Romans for my quiet time, and so this verse really popped out to me. It's in Romans 1, and it's just Romans 1:8, and this is Paul's letter, the introduction of his letter to the city of Rome. And he says, "First, I thank God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world." And I thought, wow. I mean, to have Paul writing this letter to these people, and the first thing, or one of the first things he says in the letter is, your faith is being reported all over the world. So somebody must be noticing and making these reports, and they're even getting back to Paul, and he's hearing this, and other people must be reporting to Paul. And you know there's not Facebook, so it's not just like, oh, I saw that on Facebook just briefly. I mean, there must be some real connections going on. Like, people are talking about this faith that the Romans had, right? And so then I've been thinking about this more and more, and one of the things that has happened this week, and it's been happening now for several months, actually, the whole time that the mugs and muffin things have been going on, but more so in just the last couple days, is that my grandma is dying. And actually yesterday, the hospice nurse told my dad and my aunts that, you know, she's not going to live long, maybe today and maybe tomorrow. And we never know how much time we have, but for her, the end is nearing. And so we have been listening to stories, lots and lots of stories. And my grandma is the sweetest lady, and she always has been the sweetest lady. And I was trying to think of a time when I know somebody got mad at my grandma, and I can't think of a time. But there's just been so many stories of people who have come through my grandma and grandpa's house, and we spent a lot of time over there on Friday, and just listening to them report back all of these things that my grandma was involved in her life. And just the great stories that people had of her, and the great things that my grandpa and my grandma did together, and so there's all this remembering. And so I was thinking back to that in Romans, and my grandma is a woman of faith and grew up going to church, and so I know she has better days ahead of her, but just focusing back on even the ways that she has impacted people's lives. And we do that, right? We do that when people are dying or have passed away. We remember. But then I was thinking, I was talking to Andrew, I said, what if Paul wrote a letter to us today? Like, we're not, you know, I don't think I'm dying, and who knows, but I mean, what if I got a letter from Paul today and it said, what would it say? I guess that's what I was thinking. Like, what would it say? What if we got a letter next week, and instead of Andrew standing up here preaching, he said, hey, Paul wrote us a letter. I'm just going to read this to us all since we're all gathered here. I mean, what would it say? Would it say, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you because of your faith that's being reported all over the world? Is that what it would say? And I think this is how we bless the world, because when I think about my grandma, it's those small stories. It's like, you know, for me, it's like the barbecue chicken that she baked when we all got together for family reunions up to the lake, and the care and concern that she had that her whole family was fed. You know, like for me, that's a story of my grandma. That's the way that she blessed me growing up. And I don't know if the silly muffins that I baked all summer is going to be a blessing, but it's those small things that we do. And it's the small ways that, you know, we hear God saying something and we think, oh, that's dumb and I don't want to be famous and that's not why we set out to do it. But just listening to him and going and doing those things, it blesses people. And it doesn't bless the world, you know, it doesn't bless everybody on earth, the fact that I made muffins. It blessed a very small group of people. And I think that's what's important, because when we all start blessing people, then the whole world gets blessed, because it just keeps growing and growing and growing. And so, and then I guess the other big deal about that too is, like, even though you're doing really small things, like, people start to notice and people start to talk, and then people start to investigate, what is this big deal? And then that's when people come to Christ. That's when you get the opportunity, like Nelva was saying, like that's when you get those opportunities to sit down and share your faith or bring Christ into those conversations. And so then I guess I feel like I can't walk away from the podium with telling you that now I think, like, we have these great empty rooms that are full of preschool toys. My next big idea is to take the mugs and muffins and move it inside for the winter, because we can't be at the park anymore. So now I feel like I hear God whispering, and as much as I try to, like, shove it off and try to do something different, I hear him saying, like, use the toys, like, use those rooms and bring moms together and play with them and continue something that he's already started and continue to bless people and people in our neighborhood and our community through that.
Thank you, Marcy. All right, our final testimony comes from Joanne, and it's going to be in the form of a Q&A. I'm going to interview Joanne about her life. I was scared, that's why I had to disappear for a while. No. Oh. No, I am very excited to sit down with Joanne, so please come forward. This one, yeah. Is that all right?
Sure.
We didn't practice with the stools, so. Well, Joanne.
Yes, Pastor Andrew.
You got to hold that up a little higher.
Oh, I do.
Yeah, you do. Sorry.
Can you hear me, guys?
Okay. Yeah. Well, first, I'd like you to tell us about your early years. From what I understand, you used to be a bit of a rebel. Of course, you're still a rebel, but a rebel for Jesus now. But.
A rebel. I used to be a rebel when I was young, and it was very difficult, but I think as I got older and in my adulthood, I think God put this in me to be like this, to have some kind of a sense of humor, to make it so that I could take care of myself in my younger years, because the rebel part comes into with this sense of humor that I just knew that I had to have. I think that's where the rebel comes in.
Yeah. What was it like in your early years, though, for you?
Excuse me, I'm not going to cry, I promise. It was a little hard. I didn't know the Lord. I wasn't taught how to love God. I just kind of started learning on my own, and I probably wasn't a role model to anybody when I was young and a teenager, and I just kind of like live places that I really didn't know existed. And when you come from a dysfunctional family, it's very hard. And so I just kind of winged it in my life and just went day by day and didn't even have the Lord in my life at all. He wasn't even a part of me at all. I didn't even know, hardly. And even though I had lost a sister, and I know she went to heaven, that's about as close as I ever got to knowing that there actually was a God and he was up there. And I really didn't even know if there was a devil. I actually didn't know at all. So it was very hard in my younger years. But there again, that rebel part and the sense of humor just played such an important part. And I didn't realize that God was behind me at that time. Yeah. So,
In those hard times in your younger years, was there anybody there to bless you when you needed it?
What age?
Fourteen.
No, there wasn't anybody there at all. Let's go with my teenage years. There wasn't anybody to bless me. I can remember only about three times in my childhood and my teenage years. My grandma and my grandfather going to church, that's about all I ever remember. As far as my parents, I don't remember any of that at all. I remember one time I lived on Jolly Road, and there was a church about, it was called Miller Road Bible Church, and it was probably at least 5 miles from my home. And I don't have a clue why I got up one morning and told my mom I was going to walk to this church, hoping maybe she would take me, but she probably couldn't. So I walked to this church, and I walked in there, and it, like, made a different perspective on my life. The people there, just the church itself, it just kind of, like, opened up to me, and that is about the only time that I had ever experienced God's love was that hour in that church, and I was sitting there trying to concentrate on that, and I remember it was in the wintertime, and I knew that I had to walk back home, and I knew it was cold, and that is about the closest I actually got to knowing that there is loving people and that God was someplace, but I didn't know where he was at.
Yeah. So how did you end up eventually coming to know Jesus and coming to become part of Bretton Woods? Because I can't imagine Bretton Woods without you, but I suppose there was a time before you were here.
Yeah, there was a time before. Well, as you all know, Nelva and I are, we're sister-in-laws, but we call each other sisters. And when Larry and I, her brother, had moved to Grand Ledge, she come over, and I think Richard might have been with her, and asked if we'd like to come to church. So I left that choice up to Larry, whatever he wanted to do. And I went for a while, as some of you probably already know, if I had met you then. And then I didn't go because I actually wasn't feeling God. I don't know why. I just wasn't feeling him at that time. So then I would come back, and it was like God was telling me that I needed to go back because something was lacking in my life. I had my children, which were great, and Larry, but there was still something lacking in my life, and I just couldn't pinpoint what it was. So then I just kept coming and coming and coming back. And eventually, it's like God was carrying me in this church to tell me, Joanne, there is something there. You have to search it out, and I will be there to help you. And that's how it comes out.
Yeah.
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 No.
No. Well, so you had this experience, this hard time during your teenage years with not anybody around to bless you. So after, and then you had your wonderful sister-in-law who already spoke this morning bless you by bringing you here. What are some ways that you have tried to bless other people over the years? I know you've done it. Doing it right now, by the way. Yeah.
I don't know. I think one thing that God installed in me when I learned how much he truly, truly loved me, it's because I always have been a people pleaser. I always have. And years ago, I always thought I had to please people to be liked. And then when I found Jesus and started praying and reading scripture, I found out that if you just be yourself and love people for what they are and who they are, that you will be blessed unconditionally. So when I started coming to the church and getting more involved in it, I found out how blessed the people of our church really are. I mean, I have been blessed trifold by this church and by God's love in it. And it's just so much a part of my life that I couldn't imagine not being without it. And this is where God was leading me to, but I didn't realize it at the time. He actually was carrying me. And this is where he placed me, was right here with people that I really knew. And I hope that I have been a blessing to you as much as you have been a blessing to me.
Yes, wonderful. Well, fairly recently, you've gotten involved with a local ministry of blessing people here in Lansing. Could you tell me a little bit about that?
I have got involved with Open Doors Ministry. And volunteering has always been a calling for me. And I worked in the emergency room at St. Lawrence for quite some time when the children got in school and the grandkids were kind of on their own. But there wasn't a total thing lack. There was not something that just wasn't right there. And I did pray about it. God put me in the right position. And then when Pastor Andrew, which is involved with Open Doors Ministry, I started going there and volunteering. And that is, I don't know, it just touched my heart unconditionally, because that is a part of my life that I'm so familiar with, because I do know what it's like to be homeless. My brother and I know what it's like. I do know what it's like. And there's something about going down at Open Doors and seeing them people. And they're just people like we are. They've just fallen on hard times is what's happened to them. And it happens to the good too. And last Tuesday when I went and I connected with this man there and his friend, a lady friend, Sharon, it just opened up a whole world that this is where God was meant for me to be, among these people. And so it has truly, truly been a blessing with the Open Door Ministry. And I just feel comfortable there. I just do. I just can identify with them people unconditionally when hard times fall on people. And we go in our own little world and don't realize it. So God called me there. He really did. And it's so much a part of my life now.
It's beautiful. Well, one last question. Why do you put so much energy into blessing other people?
Maybe we should ask them. Say that again.
Why do you put so much energy into blessing other people?
I just do. I'm sure a lot of our church family, it just makes you feel good to put so, to see someone laugh and to hear them say that how much they love the Lord, even in the bad times or the good times, that God is there. And it just makes me feel very, very good as a person of God to put so much energy in to love him and let people know that I do love him. And I do not have a problem with that at all where I'm at. I speak God's word. I tell them how much Jesus loves us, whether it's just acquaintance or if it's my family. And I think by how I act and present myself as part of the Lord, I think they just know. And I don't have to go into a lot of detail about it. I think they just know how we live my life. And I have been truly, truly blessed with God being in my life and giving me Larry and even giving me Ronnie, giving me my children and my grandchildren that I love unconditionally and my great-grandchildren that God has blessed me with so, so much, and my church family. And I thank the good Lord how I have been blessed. Is that okay?
More than okay. Thank you, Joanne.
I just wanted to say that my favorite Bible verse when I was younger, I don't know if I picked it up at that church or where I picked it, but it's in Romans, and I say it to myself so much. I lay down and sleep in peace, O Lord, for you alone make me dwell in safety.
Hmm. Amen. Beautiful. I'm going to pray. No, that's I'll hold it. I'm going to pray before you go sit down, just for everybody, and then we'll sing one last song of response to the Lord. God, I thank you so much for the work that you have done and are right now doing in our lives. Thank you for the way that through small but brave acts, you use each of us to bless others. And each of us in this room today has been blessed because we've heard stories, because people have been brave enough to stand up here and share stories, personal stories, sometimes difficult stories, but stories that truly touch the heart and talk about the little and the big ways that we have been blessed and that we are called and are able to bless people around us. So thank you, Lord. Continue to go with us. Continue to use us as an instrument of your peace, as an instrument of your mercy and your compassion and your grace and your love and your forgiveness and your healing, that we might take all the ways that we have been blessed and share those with the world around us. We love you, Lord. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, let's stand together and respond. I don't feel the need to wrap it up with a bow or anything because we're already here standing on holy ground. God has spoken through his people. So let's sing back to him our thanksgiving to the God who's mighty to save each one of us.
Sing together, mighty to save. Thank you.
As people of faith, we have gathered for worship.
As people of faith, we now return to the world.
Go out to share the story of faith, the story of life, with the world around you.
We share the faith in word and in deed, in speech and in action.
As you go out to give a living witness, as you go out to testify to God's love active in the world, go knowing that God goes with you, sharing the laughter and the hope, the fears and the tears. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Savior, He can move the mountains. My God.